Good morning and Merry Christmas. Welcome to our first annual Christmas Cheer and Carols. I'm so happy to see all of you here this morning, this first day of December. There are many people that I want to quickly thank for making today possible. Thank you to Tricia Stoker and Elena Dietrich for their help on the invitations, the beautiful program this morning, and for getting the communication out. Thank you to Lisa Cole for all her help with many details, to Gabe Hurst for recording today. Thank you to Evie Bungie, Bibbs Hurt, and their team who decorated Jackson Hall yesterday so beautifully. Thank you to Jean Bunch and her team for volunteering and decorating the beautiful Christmas tree in the atrium. Thank you to all the sextons for all that they do for the WOC. Each year at this time, we collect a White Cross offering to benefit our missionaries through World Witness. This year, the offering received will go to our missionaries in Pakistan and help with medical needs. There's a basket on the table to my left if you'd like to make an offering. We really appreciate that. Now, at this time, I'd like to introduce three people who really need no introduction. Alto Rhoda Pascal, soprano Holly Cole, and pianist Beverly Taylor. Thank y'all.
Shining, it is the night of a infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ of babies, Lord of all, swift of winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the babies, Lord, Lord of all, Christ the babies, Lord, Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping, rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, reach the morrow, Christ the babe.
Of his
Thank y'all. That was beautiful. Golden Angel Awards are given to individuals this time each year, individuals who have served and given back to the women of the church in an exceptional way. It is my pleasure to award two individuals today. I can get to my paper. This Golden Angel has been serving in her position on the WOC board for the past 4 years. She herself knows firsthand the importance of her position because she herself is one. She is thoughtful and caring and serves others with a humble heart. She has put in countless hours these past years organizing an annual luncheon and dinner to celebrate and raise money for our missionary families. This year, her responsibilities were a bit more challenging and less routine due to COVID, but she masterfully navigated the hurdles in order to cover all of the bases, and God bless the fruits of her labors. This year's Thanksgiving for Missions dinner had a record number in attendance, and offerings increased from years past. It is my pleasure to award the first Golden Angel Award to Victoria Andes. The second Golden Angel's intelligence and the skill set she's acquired over the years as part of her CPA training enabled her to transform the many WOC yearbook files and sync them with the church's database, with the result being the preparation of this year's annual yearbook becoming a much, much simpler task and in turn paved the way for the preparation for future yearbooks. She spent countless hours poring over documents, editing them, and even teaching herself new software she felt needed to complete the yearbook, and helped to create a classy, descriptive brochure informing the ladies of the church and newcomers about the variety of circles we have here at First Pres. On top of that, she brought in her firm's binder machine, and together we bound the 300-plus yearbooks for our WOC. I'm sure that each and every one of you already know who I'm talking about, Walda Wildman. As you all know, Beth McMaster began 2020 learning that she had esophageal cancer and soon after was diagnosed with two different types of breast cancer. I thought, what better way to end this year than by hearing her testify to the Lord's faithfulness by sharing the blessings which she has experienced through this trial. Her sister, Lila Lee Campson, has been one of her faithful prayer warriors and has recently released her prayer and praise guidebook called Daily Acts, which she's been writing for the past 20 years. It truly is a wonderfully encouraging book on prayer. My prayer has been that you will leave here this morning so encouraged in your own faith walk that you will be spurred on to share with others about the Lord Jesus and what he has done in your own life. What better time to be an encourager than right now, when there is so much heartache and loss of hope out there in our world? As 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you.
Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. One reason I do rejoice today is because I'm back in this church. This is the church in which I was born and raised. The other is because I'm standing alongside my healthy sister, Beth McMaster, and we're wearing scarves that our precious, beloved cousin Becky gave us to celebrate this day and this occasion. So thank you, Becky. As you know, Beth is a walking testimony to God's grace, and so we're here today to offer words of encouragement to you from this past year. On October 20th of this year, Letty kindly invited Beth and me to speak words of encouragement at this Christmas coffee, and it is with great delight that we share. So, Letty, thank you for giving us this opportunity, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. I was born Lalalee Lafitte on Lockwood Lane, so whether it be by nurture or nature, I do not know. But both Beth and I have an affinity for alliteration and acronyms. As many of you may recall, in August of 2018, Beth gave her testimony. That testimony was based on faith, family, fellowship, and fun. Today's testimony is based on gratitude, gifts, grace, and glorification. And it is also based on the acronym HIHOP, which I will explain. At the end of 2019, I was reading Table Talk Devotional. On December 27th, the devotional reading was about Esther and the invisible hand of God's providence. The reading struck me. Almost daily, after reading it, I would see and reflect upon God's invisible hand of providence. I used the phrase so often that Beth asked, where had I learned that or where had I read that? And I referred her back to a reading we had both read on December the 27th. So I'm going to share with you just a few lines that I underlined from that devotional. It says that the author is well aware of God's work in history. Yes, we know that our Creator is always directing events and working through ordinary circumstances in our lives. Most often, we discern his work in retrospect. The only explanation for why things are the way they are is the invisible hand of God. God was behind all of them, directing things with his invisible hand of providence. His invisible hand of providence, HIHOP. There is no such thing as chance in this sense there is no such thing as chance in the sense of things just happen. Chance is simply a name for a mathematical probability. Our universe is not randomly running on its own, and things never occur by coincidence. The Lord is directing all things. His invisible hand of providence, HIHOP, steers the course of history, and we can be confident that he is in charge, even when he seems far away. Let this thought give us courage and hope in this fallen world. Because of our time is short here today, and because my beloved sister is a summa cum laude graduate, and I am the thank the Lord graduate, I have asked Beth to share our story. Our story of HIHOP, the story of his invisible hand of providence that has been at work throughout 2020. So upon hearing it, we pray that you will be encouraged.
It's all new. First of all, I'm thankful to be here to see so many people who prayed for me, and I really appreciate that. Before I begin, I'm sorry we weren't asked for a two-day conference because we really could talk that much about what the Lord has done. And so since we didn't have much time, Lalalee told me I was the speaker. But even this morning, I had a HIHOP. And if you remember nothing I say today, this is my challenge. In Table Talk today, on the side, the Carmen Deo, it says, "Troubles remind us that we will die, and therefore that we need to be prepared to meet our Maker. Are you? Let us consider our frailty and remind people that they need to know Christ before it is too late." I believe that so firmly now more than ever. Another thing before I begin, one reason Lala Lee did not have to give a talk today is she is on YouTube, and she has a wonderful 30-minute interview with Tara McCleary Reeves on Point Me to Jesus. In your envelope later, there's a website as how you can go there. If you want to know her story, I encourage you to do that. So while I might have graduated a little bit further ahead of her in my class, I am not on the internet on YouTube, so she has that on me. And lastly, before I begin, this talk is really surreal. My family, I've said this to them several times, I do not feel like I have been through a single thing this year. I look the same. I feel the same. I have only a few things that have changed about my body, and I know it's all because of His grace. So I want to ask you to join me in prayer. Lord, Your word says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, excuse me, for the sake of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, as I long for my life to bring Your praise and glory. In Your Son Jesus' name I pray. Y'all, John Piper says, joy is not optional. It is essential. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. The year 2020 has been an unusual year for all of us. For Lala Lee and me, the year has included her becoming a published author and my having three cancers. While I will focus my remarks on His invisible hand of providence, the ha-hops in our lives this year, I want to give you a little background for those of you who don't know us. Excuse me. I might need a sip of water. I am Beth Lafitte McMaster, and this is my sister, Lala Lee Lafitte Campson. She is 10 years younger, 4 inches shorter, 15 pounds lighter, but our feet are the same shape. She's a 6, I'm an 8. We grew up in Columbia, we had daily morning devotionals, and we attended First Presbyterian Church. But because of our age difference, we were not close growing up. In 1977, Jim Barnes was invited to come to First Presbyterian Church as an associate pastor. Lala Lee was 13, I was 23. He did 101 discipleship programs, and he has small group Bible studies. He and his wife, Jane, opened their home with gracious hospitality to young adults and youth. Lala Lee and I were both blessed by their ministry. In fact, God used Jane's and Jim's ministries to change the trajectory of our lives. So, on November 2, 1979, when our dear mother, Nell Lafitte, was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, the Lord had been working in our lives, and we were better prepared. Lala Lee was 15. I was 25. I moved in with Mama, Daddy, and Lala Lee to help them. I vividly remember doing homework with Lala Lee every night. I'm not sure she ever understood algebra, but I've truly tried to teach her. This circumstance, which was probably the hardest in my life up to that point, was the beginning of our changed relationship. Lala Lee was my sister. She became my sister in Christ. Lala Lee was part of my family. She became my cherished friend. Lala Lee was not my prayer partner. She became my prayer warrior. Reflecting now at age 66, the past 40 years of our relationship has been filled with much joy and many tears. There have been times when we've had to deal with some really tough issues, but we have persevered to keep our relationship close. Prayer has been our first go-to, and oftentimes we ask each other in a confidential matter to pray for something that we never know details about. We just say, pray now. In August 28, as Lala Lee said, I gave my testimony here. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of God's grace, and I'm so thankful for His forgiveness. My story was based on faith, family, fellowship, and fun. I stated that Lala Lee and I often pray, Lord, prepare me what you are preparing for me. I close the testimony by saying, may I be clothed in strength and dignity and laugh at the days to come, celebrating the joys, growing in the trials, loving my family and the body of Christ, and having fun along the way. As she said, today my testimony continues, but I want to focus on gratitude, gifts, His grace, and glorification. Since my testimony, I've often thought, I've been more blessed than I ever dreamed, deserved, or imagined. In October 2019, 14 months ago, my family spent a fun-filled, action-packed weekend with three generations of our extended family. Interestingly, during one of our family devotions, I asked the question, which shocked everybody, are you ready to die? That is not as heavy as we usually get. I said, I've really been thinking about that. After everyone left, I vividly remember sitting in the sunroom alone. I pondered the rest of my life and thought, what does God have in His plan for me? The next 2 months were quite busy. In November, I attended the Reformed Theological Seminary dinner hosted by Derek and Gabe. I sat with Ann and Ligon Duncan and Melissa and Mike Kruger. I took home Melissa's book, Praying for Your Kids. A few days later, I called Melissa, who I had just met, and ordered 50 books. Thanksgiving was one of the best ever. We celebrated with 120 family members and friends spanning four generations and my cousin Becky's family home in Allendale. In December, I gave a devotion to the Holiday Bells. This is a group of 50 ladies, I don't think any of them go to First Pres, who gather at Christmas time. For 20 years, I have been asked to give the devotion. I prayed and decided I was going to be bolder this year. I challenged the ladies to live the verse, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. I gave each lady a copy of the book. I challenged them with the best Christmas gift they could give to their family was the gift of prayer. And I asked them to pray for their children, especially their grandchildren, and all the unbelieving family members. Literally the next day, my husband was informed of his change of position at his work. I did not understand it, and I did not think it was right. In fact, I was very upset for him. The Lord boldly convicted me to give thanks in all circumstances, like I had been preaching. It's often easier to talk the talk than walk the walk. But the Lord knew best, because He had plans for Will and for me. Christmas last year was another joy-filled one spent with our children and grandchildren. Life was full. God is good. But during those months, sometimes, but not regularly, I had trouble swallowing food. I ignored the issue because of the busy holiday schedule. Interestingly, as well, the Lord was using my quiet times and the preaching of His word in a unique way. A sermon during those months of November and December, one was titled, Brevity and Eternity. The pastor asked, when you face the brevity of this life, do you make the most of every day for the glory of God? In another sermon, a pastor asked, what is your aim? Do you do all for the glory of God and give Him thanks? A third sermon, titled Running with Perseverance, the pastor exhorted us to look back at a great cloud of witnesses, to look up to Jesus, to look forward to joy. And another pastor asked one time, are you in a fight? They were challenging, what's going on in your life? And I said, then, no. My life is great. These events and circumstances, for which I am now very grateful, were preparing me. I just did not know His course. The gifts, the high-hops between 2020. The Lord was working in mysterious ways. He was preparing me for the plans He had for my life. I had determined to live for His glory and enjoy Him forever. And I chose as my focus verse the first verse I just quoted, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, be joyful, pray, and give thanks. At the beginning of 2020, I was in my best physical shape ever. I felt great. However, my swallowing continued to be an issue. Our son, William, a cardiothoracic surgeon at Vanderbilt, told me to see my gastroenterologist. On Wednesday, January 15th, I was scoped. After reviewing the scan of my tumor, William called. He said, "Mom, where's Dad? He's at the office. He needs to come home." I said, "Why?" "You have esophageal cancer, and it's bad. It is worse than ovarian cancer. You and Dad need to come to Vanderbilt tomorrow." "William, how do you know? The biopsy is not even back," I asked. Through tears, William said, "Mom, this is what I do. I have done esophagectomies. I will arrange for you and Dad to meet with a thoracic surgeon, a medical oncologist, and a radiation oncologist." Ha ha. After looking at my scan, all three doctors agreed and recommended my having an esophagectomy, which was described as big surgery. And I really didn't understand that until I had it. Prior to the surgery, the doctors recommended 6 weeks of chemotherapy and radiation to begin January 28th. The doctors said, "You are not a statistic. Squamous cell esophageal cancer is not usually found in people who do not smoke, do not drink, and are in good shape. Also, this type of cancer is usually in the upper part of your esophagus. Mine was in the lower." I remember vividly, I stopped and I said, "I know why I've got this. The Lord had this in his plan for my life before I was born." Ladies, I had perfect peace. I did not cry. It was like God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon me. He had prepared me. His grace sustained me. God is good. My husband and I returned home to prepare for a temporary move to Nashville. The next week, on January 24th, I was diagnosed with a lump in my left breast. And while the biopsy showed a malignancy, we rejoiced that it was not metastatic esophageal cancer. Weeks later in March, while undergoing chemotherapy and radiation, I discovered a lump in my right breast. The lump was a completely different type of cancer, but it was also malignant. Laughingly, I asked the Lord, "How can I feel so good and in less than 2 months have three different types of cancer?" The gift of chemotherapy and radiation, 6 weeks in Nashville. Before I left to return to Nashville, God arranged the timing in such a way that I was able to celebrate with my daddy his 90th birthday with my siblings and spouses, which was a very joyous occasion, and we were able to do it before he even knew I was sick. I also got to attend Henry's State of the State address with Peggy and Henry, which was a wonderful celebration for our family as well. When we went to Nashville, our son William and his wife, a nurse anesthetist, quarterbacked my medical care, and they invited us to live with them. Not many people can imagine a daughter-in-law inviting the mother-in-law, so that was another high hop. Will was available now to help any time because his position changed at work. He could now work remotely, and he used the laptop that we had just bought in November. We had never had one before that. Darg and our daughter coordinated all of our travel and scheduling plans. Her husband, Rob, allowed her to come to Nashville whenever needed. He cared for the three children. Our son, Hunter, changed his work schedule to care for me. Truthfully, our children were telling us what to do. Will and I could not think. Lila Lee took care of correspondence through the B-Team Prayer Warrior email. It included several hundred people who were praying for me, and many of you in this room were doing that. Dargan, Hunter, Lila Lee, and Helen came for week shifts to assist me and take care of me. This was a very unexpected blessed time that I had one-on-one with each of those people. Helen and Tuck took over my responsibilities with Emma and Daddy. My dear neighbor and friend, Rochelle, assumed every responsibility of our household affairs for all of 2020. I think I want to hire her. The multitude of family, friends, and acquaintances who were serving us in countless ways by cards, emails, texts, letters, and acts of kindness were also praying. Each action was a blessing. During Lala Lee's stays, another high hop, I was not sick. I only had to go to daily treatment. So I asked about her book. How's it coming? What are you doing? She told me that both her literary agent and her editor lived in Nashville. I said, "Well, we got to meet these people." "No, Beth, I've come to help you." "No, we're going to meet them." So on two occasions, we had meetings regarding her book. Only the Lord could orchestrate both of these men living in Nashville. I also had lunch with Lila Lee and Jane Barnes, who now lives in Franklin, which was another blessing for us to encourage us spiritually. For me, I was never sick. I never felt bad. I didn't have mouth sores. I never lost my hair, which truly, ladies, was a blessing because I didn't look sick, especially to my dear daddy. I rode the Peloton daily. I reconnected with friends I had in Nashville. I attended Paige Brown's Bible studies, if you're familiar with Paige Brown. And I even spent time with a realtor. William and Emily were so busy, they needed a house, so I went with the realtor. I used my 3 cancer card to get into a house that was not on the market. They ended up buying it, and then Dargan and Lila Lee helped pack boxes for them to move. The family joke was that when Hunter visited, he and I just went to movies and ate out. We just had fun. But during those times, I was connected here with First Pres by listening to services and prayer times. At Vanderbilt, I cherished the time I had with other cancer patients. I got to know their families and staff. In fact, I still keep in touch with a dear sister in Christ who has also had an esophagectomy and several other dear Christians I met. My medical oncologist kept a pulse of my physical needs, but also my emotional needs. He asked me, "Do you miss home?" "No." My family and friends are showering me with countless acts of encouragement and support. But don't ask me if I miss my grandchildren. I teared up. Thankfully, he agreed for me to see them if they were well, and they came to Nashville, and we got to spend one cold February weekend at the water park at Opryland. Another gift of fun-filled memory. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Assistant. The day of my last radiation treatment for esophageal cancer was on March the 12th, which was the first day of Vanderbilt's COVID lockdown. Helen and a few of my radiation friends had gathered to witness my ringing the bell. However, they were not permitted in the hospital because of the virus. My Vandy team had strict instructions for both Will and me to be quarantined. The time was truly filled with blessings. We have not spent that much time together in our whole 38 years of marriage as we've done in the last 10 months. Note, don't neglect your spouse. You may be stuck with them for a long time. Another unexpected gift was a stationary bike from Michelle that helped me stay in shape, which my doctors encouraged. Hunter, who works for Morgan Stanley in New York, evacuated to Charleston because of COVID. He moved in with Lila Lee's sons. The Campson family adopted Hunter because coming home was not an option since I was quarantined. In fact, Lila Lee still watches over him. A ha ha. Many of you and other friends took care of every need, food, errands, etc. For Lila Lee, her book was coming together. She needed endorsements. Derek Thomas was the first one, as she had connected with him through my illness with the B-Team emails. She also got Senator Tim Scott, Ligon Duncan, and Melissa Krueger. Guess who called Melissa? I had just met her, and I just bought 50 books, and she said she would be glad to endorse the book. Our family had some other challenging circumstances during the period. In March, William was cut with a scalpel, not a needle, during a surgery with an AIDS patient. He would not know until July whether he was infected with the HIV virus. He had to take extreme caution not to infect his wife, Emily, and his daughter, Sarah Dargan. In April, Dargan had a miscarriage. It was her third since Robert was born. Both of these circumstances broke my heart because I could not be with them. But in the Lord's goodness and kindness, my quiet times blessed me. First Presbyterian daily devotionals had topics like prayer, not panic, waiting upon the Lord, a matter of life and death. I cried out to the Lord. He heard my cries, and he answered my prayers. This gift of the esophagectomy, 5 weeks in Nashville. On May the 2nd, as we drove to Nashville, Will and I listened to The Coronavirus and Christ by John Piper. We were reminded that God is righteous, he is holy, he is good, he is sovereign over all things. That gave us great comfort. We moved into a medically equipped apartment, which would be our home for 5 weeks. A few days before my surgery, our dear pastors and some elders had a Zoom prayer time just for my immediate family. The morning of my surgery at 6 a.m., my cherished cousin Becky and Mary Ruffin hosted a Zoom prayer time for over 100 participants. Lila Lee led the group in prayer, Rhoda and her girls sang hymns, and numerous ladies prayed. My anesthesiologist, who used to be in Charleston and I knew him down there, was Nat Vanderbilt. He was a believer and a longtime friend. He and the nurses all prayed for my family before my surgery. For support, Dargan and her family went to be with Helen and Tuck and the Jets at the farm. Ladies, you don't know what all the sharing of our family with times like this, the blessing it was for me. God is good. Room 9019 was my room at Vanderbilt after my esophagectomy. William and I will never forget it. He took the week off to take care of me. He was allowed since he was a Vanderbilt employee. Other patients were alone because of the COVID lockdown. During those days, I better understood what big surgery means. The week was tough. In fact, one night I cried to the Lord. I do remember saying, Lord, you are my Savior. I believe in you. I know now I do not want to go to hell, especially if it's like this. He heard my cry and answered me. True. Will could not visit me in the hospital and was staying quarantined in the apartment. Thankfully, he could socially distance with Emily, William, and Sarah Dargan. Once discharged, Will was my caregiver. He did things he has never done. He administered all of my meds. I didn't even know what I took. He handled all of my tube feeding. He washed all my clothes. He changed our sheets. He prepared my food. He did everything for me. Our children marveled at the outstanding job their daddy did. The Lord gave Will grace for the circumstance he needed at the time. Only one day of this recuperating period was really hard, and I had to have chest rays, CT scans, and a COVID test, but thankfully all was negative. My surgery was successful. I had no evidence of residual disease in the specimen. I was free of esophageal cancer. God is good. When Will and I left Nashville to return to Columbia, Will, William, and I cried tears of joy. Home for 8 weeks. The next 2 months at home required rest and recuperation. A dear friend's gift and an electric Lazy Boy recliner helped my recovery immensely. Other dear friends studied and advised me about the Sleep Number bed I would need and helped install it, as I now have to sleep at an incline. Many others ran errands provided for my needs, as being quarantined was still required for Will and me. But to much delight, we were able to escape to the lake for a few weeks. Our children and grandchildren visited us. One highlight was William removed my feeding tube while I was sitting outside on the grass with my children and grandchildren as an audience. Ladies, this occurrence was not unusual for my family, as I have been completely transparent with every detail of my diagnosis and any treatment plans. Another highlight, I got to water ski 7 weeks post-op, as water skiing is my favorite activity, and this was a gift. But more profoundly, William found out that he was HIV negative. We praise God. The next gift was the bilateral partial mastectomy. Because of my need to stay well and COVID-free in order for treatment, Will and I rented a VRBO in Nashville before my breast surgery. We were again able to enjoy time with Emily, William, and Sarah Dargan as we could socially distance outside visits at their new home. Once again, the Vanity family took extraordinary care of me. The nurse who prepared me for surgery prayed for me. The surgeon did the same. All went extremely well. It was a piece of cake compared to the esophagectomy. The biopsies of the lymph nodes were negative. I was cancer-free. The next 7 weeks were rest and recuperation from breast surgery. I was not permitted to ride my bike, but I had fun in other ways. While we were still conscious of trying to avoid COVID, Will and I were able to go to the beach for a weekend with our family. We were able to visit Spartanburg to celebrate Ann's birthday and go to the country to celebrate Hunter's birthday. That was an unexpected change in my plan, so I was glad to get to be with them. Lally's life was filled with working on her book and helping with her husband's campaign. Because I felt so good, I was able to edit her book. One thing for sure, she got honest comments from me. I do ask you, though, when you find typos in her book, please show grace. It is hard to catch all of them. All right. My gift of radiation when I went back to Nashville. During the last 5 weeks, I had breast radiation in Nashville. Will and I stayed with William and Emily. Once again, I felt great. The nanny got sick for a week, so I took over her job. I loved my time with Sarah Dargan, especially the afternoons at the park. I was able to use my gift of gab to make new acquaintances for Emily and William in their new neighborhood, which I thought they needed. The times of radiation at Vandy were different because of COVID. I could not talk as freely to patients, and their families were not allowed to be with them. So my friends during this time became the valet workers, the radiation tech, and the staff. I kind of took it as my opportunity to be an agent for Lolly's book. And when I noticed the head valet man had a Gamecock thing and we started talking, he's from South Carolina, he supports Tim Scott, I told him about the book. So I had a whole, and then one radiation tech asked me to pray for her, for her child, and I gave her a book. I was loving these connections and loving seeing how the Lord worked to spread his word. But one of the most impactful occurrences during this period was I read my first book since January. It's hard to imagine that people send you books, and when you're going through a lot, I couldn't focus on reading, and Will couldn't either. But an acquaintance that I'd met through different things sent me a book. I put it aside, and she said, have you read it? I will. I was shamed into reading her book. But the book was Suffering is Never for Nothing by Elizabeth Elliot. The book gripped me. I've since given away 30 copies, and I highly recommend it. When I went to the bookstore to buy more of her books, I met the owner and told him about Lila Lee's book. I was kind of becoming her agent. I told him I could get her a copy when it was released, but I said it was endorsed by Derek Thomas, Ligon Duncan, and Melissa Kruger. He said, with those endorsements, I don't need the book. Then he said, why doesn't your sister have a book signing at my store? He immediately suggested people we call in Nashville to open the door. She is working on that now. Ha ha. The gift of being home. When Will and I left Nashville on October 30th, I was humbled and numb that my treatments for 3 cancers were finished. We had just spent the weekend in Spartanburg, and then we came to Columbia, where we were overjoyed to see our family and friends and to be able to worship here in person. Lila Lee was now in high gear. She was waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning and staying up who knows when, how long. She divided her time between final edits and details on her book printing and working on her husband's political campaign. Lila Lee and I discussed, how can we publicize our book? I said, the B-Team prayer list. Thank you, ladies, for supporting it. She was also interviewed with Point Me to Jesus on YouTube, as I've mentioned, with Tara McCleary Reeves, and has also been on the radio at the Light Christian Radio in Beaufort. Thankfully, Chip won his bid for South Carolina Senate on November 3rd, and her book, Daily Acts, was released on November 10th. Lila Lee has since had a book signing in Charleston and has been a guest speaker at an event. For us, this past Thanksgiving was a culmination of a memorable year. Our family, with the Jets and Helen and Tuck, gathered at the Campsons' home in the country. We praised our Lord Jesus for his goodness and mercy, and we encouraged each other to give thanks and glorify him forever. As I look forward to 2021, I know I'll participate more with my esophageal club. These are people I've met who are getting ready to have esophagectomies or have had them. In fact, one man I called, who's getting ready to have one, I told him my name, and he didn't know me, and he said, are you Dargan's mother? So, yes, I am, and that was our connection. But even though our family had the scare of HIV virus with William and the disappointments of Dargan's miscarriages, the Lord's goodness continues. Next year, we look forward to Emily having a baby in April and Dargan having a girl in May. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ for the circumstances. For grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you're saved, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Since learning of my diagnosis in January, I have not cried about having cancer. I have not asked why. My family says I have not complained, and I hope that's true. I remember Glenn Connect saying, God gives you grace for every circumstance in your life. I knew this fact to be true from numerous experiences. I had witnessed my mother and my dear friend Mary Edwards both living graciously and dying courageously with cancer. By grace, he prepared me for my diagnosis. However, I have to be honest, I was not prepared for the family conflicts that we would result from COVID. Our immediate family had many talks, arguments, disagreements about wills and my quarantine. We had lots of tears. Who could see me? Who was quarantined? Each one could justify his own actions and judge the actions of others. However, God in his mercy showed grace in our family. These tough discussions, while resulting in wounded feelings, brought us together. And now I, for one, am convinced of my need to show grace to others in all ways as he has shown to me. Glorification. I am grateful for the experiences of the past 10 months. They have humbled me. My trials of 2020 pale in comparison to the blessings of family and friends and the body of Christ. Prayer is powerful. The word of God is true, and it does not come back void. He has a plan for your life. Transparency about your situation with your family and others blesses them. It especially blessed my grandchildren. And every act of kindness, calls, texts, cards, notes, flowers, errands, gifts, and especially prayers were appreciated. As Elizabeth Elliot said, joy is not the absence of suffering. It is the presence of God. Suffering is never for nothing. I want to thank you for traveling this journey of gratitude, gifts, and grace and glorification with me. But I'm returning to my focus of faith, family, fellowship, and fun with a much greater desire to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Thank you.
In closing, I would like to share a gift which Beth gave to me, which many of you know Aline Crock in this church. And it was over 35 years ago that Aline Crock stood before a group of you and shared the gift of the golden box. In order for my family to help focus on Christmas, my sister gave me this unique gift, the golden gift box, topped with a silver bow. And inside are 8 items. These items represent what is offered to us by our loving Heavenly Father to mankind that very first Christmas. The undeserved gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Inside the box are these symbols of God's gift of love. It's a tangled mess, excuse me. The broken chain represents how from the day of our conception, our lives have been swaddled in sin. Therefore, we are to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Assistant. Thank you. I think in travel it got tangled, I'm sorry. The perfectly plain notebook represents the fact that once we confess our sins, God purifies us from all unrighteousness and wipes our slate clean. The white dove represents the Spirit of God, which descends upon us and gives us peace. The jingle bells of joy represent the joy of the Lord that fills our souls and gives us strength as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. The golden ring represents the eternal life which is given to us through Jesus Christ. The Bible is a reminder that we are to let God's word dwell in us richly and to share with others and teach others what God has offered us through Jesus Christ. The key unlocks this treasure. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. A wooden cross inside this golden cup represents the cup of the new covenant that was poured out for us by the blood of Christ on the cross. Each Christmas, with a grateful heart, I pull out the golden box and place it under our tree. It causes me to focus on the good and perfect gifts of Jesus Christ. It reminds me not to get all wrapped up in the temporal gifts, but to share with others the greatest present ever given, the gift that will never spoil or fade, the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, the precious gift of eternal life with Jesus Christ. If you have not received the greatest gift of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and loving Him as your Lord, how about receiving it today? If this gift is something you have received, I want you to encourage you to share it with others, to make a point this Christmas to reach out your hand and offer that gift of salvation to another today. For today is a day of our salvation. Jesus is the best Christmas present ever. So ladies, y'all have been patient. My grandmother used to say, my mind cannot absorb more than my fanny can endure. And I'm sure y'all have about endured about enough today. So I want to thank y'all very, very much for listening. And in your envelopes, which we ask you not to open, is a copy of the Table Talk devotional, which I referenced earlier today, from December 27, 2019, as well as a bookmark where I share with you an acronym that I made up, THINK. And it's an excerpt from my book. Think before you speak. Ask yourself, is what you're about to say true? Is it honoring to God? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And also inside your envelope is a cross. That cross is to remind you to look to the Lord in His strength, to seek His face always, to remember the wonders that He has done. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and bless you all with a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Lalalee and Beth. You are incredible and such a blessing to us. Your lives are a visible representation of HIHOP, and we appreciate your sharing and inspiring us today. They have requested on the back of your program for us to sing To God Be the Glory. And if you'll keep your masks on, everyone stand and let's just praise God with all three verses.
Perfect return.
David, would you like to close us in prayer?
Let's give praise and thanks to our great God. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, our hearts rejoice in you. We extol you for your kindness, your rich gifts of grace, of mercy to us and our Savior. We thank you for our dear friends. We thank you for Beth and the way in which you have answered so many prayers and proven yourself ever faithful. Thank you for her and her dear family, and ask your blessing on her and each of us, that we might know your presence with us, that your invisible hand is at work accomplishing your good purposes, that we might become more like our Savior, that we might know your great love, your sustaining grace and marvelous peace. We rejoice in this wonderful time of singing your praise, of hearing words of testimony, of hearing your word sung. We give you our praise and our thanks. And Jesus, our mighty Redeemer, Emmanuel, the God who is with us, in Jesus, our Savior's mighty name, we pray. Amen.